Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Ruby.
So what exactly sparked the decision to conduct this research?
Well, we first carried it out in this national survey out in 2017, and it really followed a lot of public anxiety around fake news that followed the Trump election. And that anxiety hasn't really abated. It still persists. So we really wanted to see how things have changed for young people, both how has the way that they access news changed, but also how has their experience of news changed.
Of course. And what are some of the key findings of your research?
So one of the things we asked was where young people got news from the day before the survey, and we found that 88% had consumed news from at least one source. The top source was family, teachers, friends. So that 70% got their news from that in that social way from their family, teachers and friends, and that was a big jump from 2017. And then that was followed by getting news from TV, radio or newspapers, more traditional sources, and half of them did that. And then that was followed by social media, which 29% of them got news via social media the day before the survey. There was a big difference, of course, in social media use between children aged between 8 and 12 and teenagers aged between 13 and 16. Obviously, teenagers getting a lot more news from social media than children.
Right, of course. And so you did an interview with Nick Parmeter in 2017 about your aforementioned survey you conducted on fake news. Would you be able to just cover some of the main developments you've discovered in your new report in comparison to this initial survey?
Sure. I think one of the things that's really surprising for us is we asked young people if in the last 12 months they'd received any classes in school to help them verify the news or check the quality of the news. And we, in 2017, one in five said they got this kind of education in the last 12 months. So we expected there would be a big jump, but there was no jump at all. It's exactly the same. So one in five young people said they'd had that kind of critical news education in the classroom. So that's a real surprise to us. We can see that teachers are talking about news in the classroom more than 2017 because one third of young people said they got news from their teacher the day before the survey, which is a lot higher than 2017. But it does seem like they're getting or think they're getting that kind of critical news media literacy skills where they might be doing things like understanding how to verify sources or understanding, you know, basic data literacies around how algorithms are working and why they're delivering a particular news. And you know, thinking about those kinds of issues about how to verify the source of the news or think about the quality of it.
Absolutely. And I mean, it seems like quite a common conclusion in the research of this topic is that young people should be developing their critical thinking skills in order to differentiate between valid news sources and fake news. So how do you think this could be achieved?
I think the critical news literacy is a really important thing because I think, you know, some people think that a checklist of skills can be what's offered. So, you know, how to do reverse image source, how to look at the original source of the news. But what I think those things are really limited and they're not necessarily relevant. You know, we found young people are getting news from all kinds of sources, like they're getting it on TikTok. They're getting it on Instagram, huge jump in the use of Instagram for news. And that means they're getting news delivered in quite a different way. So that checklist approach won't work. Whereas if we teach young people critical news skills, to think about who created this, what vested interests might be involved, you know, how are other people talking about this, what technology was involved in delivering this to me and how did that impact it? All these kinds of critical questions that really can be used in very different settings, I think, are really important. And we really have to understand more about what it means when young people say they're getting news from TikTok and different sources and really, I think, speak to them where they're at. You know, there's no point in talking about some ideal form of news consumption if that's not what young people are doing.
Absolutely. I mean, with the kind of digital age, handing a young person a newspaper and being like, boom, there's the news, it's kind of just unrealistic. You know.
Yeah, well, 1 in 25 young people said they read a newspaper the day before the survey, and that decreased a lot in 2017. So, yeah, I think that we definitely need to think outside of the box and understand that news is just far more socially mediated, I think, for all of us, but I think especially for young people.
Absolutely. So we're constantly being barraged with news and new information, you know, with everything going on right now, from the COVID-19 pandemic to the Black Lives Matter protests and so on. So with the news cycle kind of being bombarded right now, what advice do you have for our listeners on how to navigate all the news coming out and how to tell what is and isn't factual?
Yeah, look, I think it's really important, you know, the first question to ask, what's at stake? I think that, you know, if information is about health and well-being and safety issues, then we really need to do the extra work. Obviously, verifying every piece of information that comes our way is just is not plausible. So I think it's important to think about what's at stake here and the implications of that news. Then I think it's, you know, really important to ask who's creating it and who created it and what their interests might be. But also, what's just so important is that we're able to check the facts and information. And, you know, I think that this is a real challenge that we have when news is being relayed by a social source on TikTok. They're probably not going to relay the statistical report that the information they're talking about came from. So I think this is a real challenge. And I think, you know, we have to kind of think about when we're going to relay the news to others, what key pieces of information have been checked and what needs to be fact checked. But I think it's a real challenge. And I think another thing that we really need to think about is that we've had a really distressing year, and we really see this in our survey, that news has become more distressing for young people. So I think we all need to think about when to switch off and when we consume and when news is becoming too much for us and how we manage those emotional responses. I think those emotional responses are important because young people say that news makes them motivated to act. So I don't think switching off is something that you should be telling them. But I do think it's important that we deal with those feelings of distress and work out how to channel them or minimise them.
Absolutely. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this.
Thanks for having me, Ruby.
My pleasure.